Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went he out of him to Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Again in Matthew 3, beginning with verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now I trust that most of us realize that one of the most famous rivers in the world is the Jordan River in the Palestine area. It is not renowned because of its length. It's only about 100 miles long by air, 200 miles actually. It does not come close to the measure of many rivers in length. Jordan was never a river known for its commercial activity. There are fertile lands on either side of it because it overflows its banks and irrigates the land, but one thinks more of the Nile River or other rivers than the Jordan River when we come to consider the use of the land for fertile fields. There are no great cities on the Jordan River. It is not a river that's worshipped as a god like many rivers are worshipped in pagan lands. Then why is the Jordan so famous? And though it has some distinctive characteristics that make it interesting to study, it is famous, friend, because of events connected with it. Other rivers flow their course, and they proceed with a gradual descent, reaching sea level, and then come to rest. Jordan begins in the icy springs and the melting snows of Mount Hermon, just a very few feet above sea level. It flows through the small waters of Merom, which are very shallow, and going 10 more miles, it enters into the Sea of Galilee, and that's about 12 miles long. Now, many events connected with the life of Christ were involved with the Sea of Galilee. But then the river comes to about a 600-foot level below sea level. It coils southward through the Jordan Valley, which is bounded by mountains and a wilderness. And eventually it reaches some 1,300 feet below sea level and empties into the Dead Sea, into the lowest land on this earth. The Dead Sea is the lowest body of water. Now, these historical events that are connected with Jordan, that's what's given the Jordan its fame. Moses brought Israel from Egypt to the deep valley on the eastern side of the Jordan, just north of the entrance of the river into the Dead Sea, the plain of Moab, Deuteronomy chapter 32. It was on Mount Nebo, the peak of Pisgah, that Moses looked over the Jordan into the land of milk and honey. And he could see the Jordan winding through the wilderness. And there Moses died, and God buried him. Joshua commanded Israel to come to the banks of the Jordan River in Joshua chapter 1. The river was overflowing its banks at the time with rapid currents, steep banks, and swollen over the valley. In some places where the ravines were deep, the measure has been over 100 feet. The current has been measured at times as much as 40 miles per hour. And in spite of the obvious hazards involved, Israel obeyed Joshua's command to follow the priest into the water. And God cut off the water from the north as it flowed to the south, and the people passed over on dry land, and once across, the river's flow was renewed. Friend, do you believe that? Oh, I certainly do. Yes, I know it was a miracle of God. It was a supernatural event revealed to us in inspired writing. And if God created the heaven and the earth, as the Bible certainly teaches, and could bring the flood in the days of Noah and part the Red Sea, surely he would not stumble at the Jordan River. You see, the purpose of this miracle was fourfold. One, it gave Israel access to the land of Canaan. Two, it destroyed the spirit of the Canaanites. Three, it established Joshua before the people as the leader of the people with God's approval. And fourthly, it demonstrated the power of God. And the Israelites settled the land, and many years passed, with the river figuring in the history of Israel during the period of the Judges, during the United Kingdom and the Divided Kingdom, even into the time of Ahab, the king of northern Israel. Ahab had led the people into idolatry, with the aid and probably the urging of his wife Jezebel. Baal worship was in vogue. God's prophets were being imprisoned and exiled and murdered. And then came Elijah on the scene. And Elijah had additional association with the young prophet Elisha. And when the mantle of Elijah was to be passed from him to Elisha, these two prophets walked to the Jordan Valley and to the Jordan River, at the very area where Moses had viewed the land and where Joshua had them to cross into Canaan. Elijah took his mantle and smote the waters of Jordan, and they opened for him and for Elisha to pass. A whirlwind and horses with a chariot of fire took Elijah, and his mantle fell to Elisha. Elisha, upon his return, took that same mantle and again smote the Jordan River, and it parted for him to cross and to return to his work as God's prophet before the people. You see, these are events that had to do with the Jordan River, and there are many other biblical records of interest pertaining to the Jordan. It had to be crossed by Abraham and by Jacob as they made their journeys. Naaman dipped himself into the Jordan River 7 times in order to be cleansed of his leprosy at God's command. It was once the scene of a near civil war between some of the tribes of Israel early in their history. Around it, Gideon scored many military victories for Israel. Many of the armies of God's people were familiar with it, its fords, its barriers. And Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets, had prophesied, Malachi 4:4-5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." The New Testament reveals that this Elijah, of whom Malachi spoke, was actually John the Baptist, who came in the spirit and the power of Elijah, Luke 1:17. He began his ministry and his mighty work as the forerunner of the Messiah on the banks of the same Jordan River, baptizing in that river, a baptizing that is noted to those who look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, and a baptizing in a river that had already many notable events in God's plan in dealing with man. And one day, another young and unpretentious man came to the way of John the Baptist. He came to be baptized of John. On that day, even heaven broke its silence, and we hear God's own confession that Jesus is his Son. On the banks of the same river over which Moses viewed the promised land, the river that Joshua and Israel had crossed at flood stage, the river that had been opened before the ancient prophets. There was this scene of preparatory work for the coming of the Savior of man. And God himself announced the identity of Jesus as his Son. Surely this was a moment of crowning glory associated with the Jordan River. But Jordan's fame also has a certain connection in the mind of the Christian. We sing that great hymn, "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand." In that song, the Jordan River symbolizes the death we all face. The grand thought is that standing at the water's edge of the river of death that separates us from the eternal and heavenly home that God has provided for the redeemed. As Israel had wandered many years, and the promised land had come into view with Joshua as their leader, they only needed to cross the dark waters of this great river to reach their goal and to reach the promised land. Dear friend, so it is with the saved in Christ. Having spent our sojourn in this life, marching on with hope and assurance of heaven, with Christ as our leader, we need only to cross the dark waters of death, followed by the resurrection and the judgment, to reach that lasting and blessed existence with God. Yes, great is the fame and the significance of the Jordan River. Greater still, and comforting to our spirits, is the hope in Christ as we approach the Jordan of death with Christ. As with Israel, so are we dependent upon God for a successful and victorious crossing. And as surely as the touching of the feet of the priest literally opened the pathway for Israel into Canaan, so our feet must touch the chilling waters that separate this life from the next, and the path will be open unto us for the safe passing and entrance into God's rest as we cross over our personal Jordan River. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.